One thing I strive to do is to keep Deuteronomy 6 in my head, even kind of in the back burner as a reminder, that God instructs us to teach our children and to teach them diligently and, to wear it on our forehead and things like that, because God wants us to, as parents, teach and train our children in the in our children in the way of the Lord.
Welcome to Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology, a series of interviews with real-life homeschool moms, dads, and other educators on all sorts of topics that affect our lives as homeschool parents. I'm Amy Sloan, a second-generation homeschool mom of five, and I am so delighted that you are here. Here on Homeschool Conversations, we'll discuss educational philosophy, family life, and more. Come chat with us. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the homeschooling journey, wondering if you're doing enough to support your children's education and spiritual growth? You are not alone. A lot of Christian homeschool parents face the same challenges and long for a supportive community to help them navigate this important responsibility. And that's why you're going to love Made to Homeschool. This unique community is designed to support homeschoolers at all stages, offering camaraderie, encouragement, and inspiration. At Made to Homeschool, we believe that you were called to this journey for a reason. You were made for this. Join us today, and together we'll build a strong network of families dedicated to nurturing the next generation of godly leaders. Find out all the details and join us inside at humilityanddoxology.com/m2h, or you can click the link in the show notes. That's humilityanddoxology.com/m2h, humilityanddoxology.com/m2h. Hello, friends. Today I am joined by Kimberly Steenbergen, who is a wife, homemaker, and homeschool mom of three. Kimberly loves Jesus and loves encouraging moms to cultivate their homes with joyful intention through biblical motherhood, homeschooling, artful homeschooling on a dime, and family discipleship. Kimberly, I have followed you online for, I think, several years now, and I'm so excited to finally get a chance to chat with you in person. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and how you got started homeschooling?
Yeah, sure, Amy. It's also good to finally talk to you in person. So I've also, just kudos to you, have been following you on your website for many years. So exciting to finally connect together here. But my husband and I have been married for almost 13 years. We have three beautiful babies and one in heaven. And I've been homeschooling. So we've always knew we wanted to homeschool. My husband homeschooled up until middle school, I think seventh grade. He homeschooled up until then. And then I was public school. So when we got married, we both agreed that homeschool would be the choice that we would do for our children. So it's just kind of been something we've always wanted to do. And it's been quite a journey, an exciting one that's worth it. And I would do it all over again.
I don't know if you knew this, but my husband was also homeschooled through seventh grade. So he went to public school, eighth grade through graduation. Then, of course, I was homeschooled all the way through. But yeah, it's really fun to get to have a spouse who was also homeschooled. I think I've talked to a few moms who have that as their background, but it's not quite as common to hear someone whose husband was the one who was homeschooled. So it kind of brings a unique perspective there.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Well, how has your approach to homeschooling, or just your thoughts about education, educational philosophy, grown and changed over the past few years?
Well, we knew we needed to start with God's word. So a biblical worldview was something that was a no-brainer, just something that we did not want to compromise on. And we did a lot of research on different homeschool methods, different types of curriculums, and things like that. And in the beginning, we narrowed it down to a classical, education type of thing. And so we started out kind of using that method and bought very expensive curriculum. And we did that for several years. And it just got a little overwhelming with all the textbooks and all the strict scheduling and things like that. So, we did a lot of praying and a lot of even deeper research, seeing like, maybe this is not really working for us. So we kind of loosely still do like a classical education type of deal, but we're a lot more relaxed with it. So we just make sure we focus on, math, writing, and arithmetic, make sure those core subjects are covered. And of course, we throw a Bible in there every single day. But it's not like heavily focused on like textbook, hours and hours of textbook learning. And that works great for my children. So it's kind of started out really strict, and then now we're kind of more flexible, more relaxed, and it's a lot better for our family dynamic
So
being
instead
that
of
way.
being so textbook focused, do you do more like unit studies or interest led? Or what does that look like? What does that mean when you kind of set the textbooks aside?
Right, so a lot of unit studies is what we do, and then also some interest-led learning, especially with my oldest. She'll be going into fourth grade. What grade are you in? So those kind of fourth grade age range, we do a lot of that with her. So as long as we cover those main core topics, everything else is like, okay, let's do everything as a family. So we do a lot of family learning, especially with subjects of science, which we don't do, every week. We try to maybe do once a month, like cover a week's worth of science and just cover things like that. So it's not like heavy like that. So we just kind of say, hey, like we've had a tornado season, unusual for this time of year for June. And we studied tornadoes for a week and how the weather works. And then it kind of led into rainbows, and it kind of, started asking all these questions. So we spent a week learning about the weather and different types of studies we can do with that. So it's not like everything has to be on a schedule. Oh, this week we have to do this. No, we just kind of play it by ear as time goes by.
I love the way that sometimes, even when you least expect it, there can be a topic that spurs, one child or the other's imagination. Or sometimes my own imagination as mom and is like, hey, let's just take a day or two and kind of really deep dive into this. Let's go to the library and get all the books and do a field trip. Or sometimes even just I'll find that in God's providence, like multiple things, like a poem we're memorizing, a field trip we already had planned, this random book we're reading, like suddenly they're all talking to each other, and you're like, I think this all relates, and it wasn't even intentional on my part.
Exactly. That's so funny that you mentioned that, because we're new to Alabama. We just moved here a little over a year ago. And when we first moved here, we learned about the boll weevils in Enterprise. And so we went on a field trip to Enterprise. We looked at all the boll weevil statues. And it just, based on like the research after our field trip, we just kind of dove into, well, this boll weevils, issue that they had, and how they destroyed the crops, and how their cash crop was destroyed, which was cotton. And then they had to figure out a new cash crop, which ended up being peanuts. And it just came into this realization of how God's providence just kind of was such a huge story with the whole boll weevil. And then we just started studying on God's providence. And that led to like a couple of weeks of studying God's word with his providence. All three of my kids were just so amazed to see that there with the boll weevil story. And then we started looking at God's providence in our own lives, and how, God led us here and there and all these different things. So things like that, I just love when things like that come up.
I love that too. Oh my goodness. That's definitely one of my favorite parts of homeschooling is just being able, well, I mean, humility and doxology is not just the name of my website. Like that's my goal of education is I want all of the things we're learning to drive us to praise. And when you study history or science or really any topic as a believer, it's so easy for that to just drive you to praise because you're like, wow, look, God was at work here too. It's very exciting.
It is exciting.
Well, what have been some of your other favorite parts of homeschooling?
I guess a couple different things, but the number one thing I would say is watching my children grow in their character. Just character building with them has been such a reward and a challenge sometimes. My kids aren't perfect, right? So, it's still just every day, just see them grow in certain areas and teaching them how to trust in God with their emotions and things like that. I'm just really am pointing them to Christ with any opportunity that I can. Educational wise, I have really enjoyed teaching my children how to read. So that's just been a joy to see my kids love books, and they grab a book a lot of times instead of grabbing a toy, which I'm like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I want my kids to learn and enjoy reading as a lifestyle to, to carry them throughout the years. But yeah, I really enjoy seeing them grow with their education and especially the character.
Yeah. Well, what about some of those challenging parts of homeschooling? It's great when we see our children grow and when they pick up the book instead of the toy or instead of screen time or whatever. But, it's real life and we're sinners, our kids are sinners, and things can be hard sometimes. Are
Right.
there challenges that you faced in your homeschool and how have you guys sought to overcome those challenges?
Sure. One of our first major challenges was figuring out, I guess, the schedule of how we will homeschool. So first we did like a traditional school year, traditional school year, and then take summers off. And that didn't work so well in the beginning because I have a very stubborn daughter, my oldest. She's very stubborn, and that long summer that we had a very long summer one year, and she did not want to get back into the routine of doing schoolwork. So that was a big challenge getting her to transition from, okay, summer's off, lots of fun, to getting back to school. It was like a couple months worth of getting her, back on level, back on track for the routine. So because of that, we don't do traditional school year anymore. We do school year round. So we take breaks as we need it. If we have a vacation or a doctor's appointment or whatever, we just take a break as they come. So we try to do school consistently more often. And we've been doing that maybe 4 years now. You're in schooling year round, and that's just helped so much. And we don't have those struggles anymore with, well, we've been off school, I just want to play, I just want to do this and that. Now I have to sit down and do school. Those challenges with, meltdowns and things like that, we don't deal much with that anymore. So that has been a lifesaver, switching to year-round homeschooling for us.
Do you plan ahead certain weeks that you're going to take off so that everyone kind of knows, like, okay, get through the next 3 weeks or whatever, and we'll have a break? Or do you just sort of go until everyone is tired and then say, okay, guys, surprise, it's a break?
Yeah, kind of like that on a ladder. We just kind of plan it as it comes. So if, for example, my husband just had a surprise 5 days off for the holidays. So he had Thursday, Friday, and then Monday off. So we was like, okay, well, we're not going to do school this week because daddy's going to be home and we're just gonna, spend some time with daddy kind of thing. So that helps us with, if someone gets sick, we can just take the week off. Or however many days they're sick off and not worry about, missing, or we have to keep up with this schedule, that schedule. We don't really have to work on that. So that also for us is good because sometimes we like to be spontaneous. So if we want to go to the beach for the day, we can just be like, okay, no school, let's go to the beach. So we try to keep the flexibility there, and it's great for the days when we want to be spontaneous too. So yeah.
I love hearing that perspective because I think a lot of times we hear from people maybe more like my personality where it's like, okay, I need to like know what's coming ahead. I have children who also aren't big on surprises or spontaneity. And so like a little bit of structure, like a flexible structure works best for us. But I love hearing the way your family operates, where you guys are able to make the spontaneity work for you. And because you're consistent on the other days, you have that freedom to not feel like, oh no, we should probably do school today, because
Right.
you are consistent, but then you also can just sort of be like, hey, surprise kids, today's off. And I hope that encourages a mom who's listening, who's that's more their personality. That's the way God's made them to like learn how you can make your homeschool fit with your family's personality, right? Like we're all unique people the way we've been made. And there's not just one right way to plan or schedule and operate our homeschool. That's awesome.
Yeah. And just to kind of go back to that for a second, it brings so much freedom for me because, like I said in the beginning, when we were just so like, have to stick to the schedule, so textbook heavy, like, oh, we were a little bit behind on this, we have all this to catch up on. Like, that was overwhelming for me. And if we didn't finish all the curriculum because, you know, we got sick, or like in 1 year, my daughter had to be in the hospital because of her asthma was so severe, like it got overwhelming for me because I was looking at the schedule. Well, we have all this, we haven't finished yet, right? So now that I'm not dealing with all that, and we're a little more flexible and we school year round and we're not focused on all these heavy textbook curriculums, it frees all that weight off of me, honestly. And it's just, homeschooling is more enjoyable for me because I don't have to worry about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Kimberly, I know that you mentioned earlier, and I know from following you, that a really important part of your homeschool and family life is giving your children a biblical foundation. And I know that's something that a lot of homeschool parents like would say that's our primary goal as parents and educators. So what are some ways that you think homeschool parents can accomplish that goal in our families, our homeschools, really giving our children a solid biblical foundation?
Right. So one thing I strive to do is to keep Deuteronomy 6 in my head, even kind of in the back burner as a reminder, that God instructs us to teach our children and to teach them diligently and, you know, to wear it on our forehead and things like that, because God wants us to, as parents, teach and train our children in the way of the Lord. So, you know, that's a big task, you know, for parents, especially in the culture that we live in today. You know, it can be so anti-God, anti-biblical, and things like that. So I and my husband, we make sure that we, you know, we catechize our children so they are learning, you know, questions and answers about God, because those are going to be important to know and to be able to answer boldly when they come up, when they're, you know, older. Even now today, you know, someone can ask them a question, they need to be able to answer that and to defend their faith. So things like that is really important to us as well. But one thing that I do daily is, you know, we catechize and we sit down at breakfast and we make sure we read our Bibles. And we also have, you know, Bible study together. And then my husband leads family worship and things like that. So we are making sure we give our children a gospel-centered home. Mm-hmm. And that's very important to us. And that, you know, we want to also teach them to, you know, love our neighbor as we love ourselves and things like that. But, you know, we have to remember that, you know, God gives us these tools and we need to be able to learn how to use the tools, you know, to reach the world, to reach our families and things like that. So, yeah, also setting a good example, right? Because like you said, we are all born sinners and I'm not perfect. We struggle. But to also model that for our children, you know, if I did something wrong, model repenting and asking for forgiveness and loving one another and, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. That's a constant reminder in our home. You know, fruits of the Spirit, we have to remember we need that. We need to be sanctified through the power of the Holy Spirit. So those are things that we try to make sure they hear on a daily basis.
Now let's hear from podcast sponsor and Sloan family favorite, Mr. D himself from Mr. D Math.
Does your child love math, surpassing your ability to teach them? Or maybe you have a child struggling in math and you're looking for a solution that will help them finally get it. You want your teen to understand, love, and enjoy their math curriculum. Is that too much to ask? At Mr. D Math, we've got you covered. Many times a young person says they hate math simply because it hasn't been explained in a way that makes sense to them. At Mr. D Math, our teachers are dedicated to providing accessible support, instructing with clarity, and making math fun. We work with students from around the world, helping connect educational concepts to their everyday lives and exposing them to endless possibilities and potential for their futures. Head to MrDMath.com to check out our live and self-paced course options for math, life skills, test prep, and more. We even have courses to get your child ready for high school math or help them catch up or get ahead in a semester or less. Go to MrDMath.com or click the link in the show notes to see how Mr. D Math can bring clarity and joy to your homeschool.
I think a lot of times it's easy for parents, maybe especially if they didn't come from a Christian background, to think, okay, well, all I have to do is go make sure I buy curriculum from like a Christian publisher. And then it's like, that makes it a Christian education, right? Like I've done my job. I've picked the Christian curriculum. There's a Bible verse at the top of the math page or, you know, whatever. And that makes it Christian. And not that Bible verses on your math page are a bad thing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's not necessarily like what you were describing, which is this gospel-centered foundation where everything that the family does, our top priorities are flowing out of a love for the scripture, a love for God, a repentant heart, even as parents, right? Modeling that to our children.
Right.
But it's something that's so much simpler in one hand because it's like breathing. It's just like the way our family lives life. Right. And yet so much harder in another sense, so much deeper. It's easy to just like pick a book, say, oh, that's a Christian textbook. Like I'm good. Check. Now I've done that. Like I've given my children a biblical worldview or I've done that apologetics course. Okay. Check. I've done that. Right. And it's not that simple. Like it's something that's so much deeper and it requires a whole life perspective, I think.
Exactly. I mean, it's so important. And that's one thing I want to make sure my children understand is like, you can call yourself a Christian, but are you living that out, you know, in your life? So just like you just said, just modeling that for your children, you know, because it's more than just, you know, textbook stuff, you know, that's all works, right? So you want to be able to have that fruit too. And yeah, we have to model that, you know, we have to correct when things come up. We have to help them build their character. So yeah, these are all things that help build a gospel-centered home. And that's important for us.
Well, if you have some resources or links to things you've shared about, you know, catechizing kids and family devotions and things, send those to me and I'll put them in the show notes. And I'll also include in the show notes an interview I did with my husband about getting started with family devotions. John and I had our first family worship together on our wedding night, and it's been just about every day since. So that's something I'm really thankful for. So definitely if you're listening or watching, check the show notes and I'll put those links in there. But I want to transition a little bit and talk about a question that I know comes up a lot. People ask me this a lot because, you know, like me, you are a wife, a mom, a homeschool mom, and you're an entrepreneur, right? That's like a lot of plates that you're juggling, a lot of vocations. And it can be really hard to balance all of those things, to figure out how to meet the needs and meet the deadlines and the requirements at any given time. And people are often asking me, like, how do you do all this? Like, how do you work and be a wife and a mom and homeschool? So tell me, how do you do it? What would be your tips or advice for other moms?
Right. I mean, balance is so important. It's so key. My family, my home comes first. So, you know, being an entrepreneur, it's not the back burner, but that's not the first priority. So I make sure my home is taken care of, my family, my husband, make sure they have everything that they need. And entrepreneurship, at times that's hard to balance with family life. So, you know, I often pray like, Lord, you know, I have these deadlines coming up. I have this, I have that. I need to be able to have a moment in my day to focus on, you know, X, Y, Z. And lately, that's been kind of like a floating, flexible thing. Sometimes I like to get up early in the morning. I'm talking 4:30 in the morning to work a couple hours before my early risers get up because they get up between 6 and 6:30. So sometimes that works for me. And other times it's, you know, after they go to bed. And that can be a struggle for me personally because I get tired at night and I want to go to sleep, but I have, you know, deadlines that I need to meet. So right now my 5-year-old she is just wanting to get up in the middle of the night and sleep with mommy. So I can't get up at 4:30 right now like I want to. So I have to do my work at night. So I find that I'm constantly switching between working in the morning or working at night. I try not to do too much during the day because I want that time focused on my family. But sometimes like we're having a meeting right now. My kids are watching movies. Just saying. Sometimes, you know, you have to turn on the TV. And then today's one of those moments where they're watching a movie while I'm doing this call with you today. So, you know, we can be flexible for times like that. But I typically like to devote my time during the day for them. So that's kind of how I balance things.
I think that's helpful to hear too, because I can so relate to that. There have been seasons where it's been like, yes, getting up early. Generally, I'm a 5 to 5:30 a.m. So not quite as hardcore as 4:30, but you know, right. It's like, great, this is my work time. It's perfect. And then having to just come up against the reality of other seasons where you have family commitments in the evening or even physical limitations, like different seasons of life where you're like, my body is telling me that I am finite and I cannot get up that early anymore. Right. And so having to know, okay, just because it always used to work this way, doesn't mean it's going to keep working that way. And it's like a lot of flexing, right? You get constantly having to be like, okay, well, let me try a different way of juggling these balls. Right. But as long as we know the ones that we don't want to drop, those top priorities, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Kimberly, if you could go back and give advice to your new homeschool mom self, what would you say?
I would say don't get caught up in the hype of curriculum, because there's so many choices out there. And you don't need to have all the curriculums. And in the beginning, I bought whatever I thought would work for my kids. And so it was a madhouse. I had a lot of curriculum that I didn't even use that year because either it didn't work out or I just never got to it. So I would say, you know, don't get caught up in the curriculum hype. Start simple, keep it simple, and again, just stick with the basics, kind of like what we're doing now, you know, math, writing, arithmetic, reading, you know, stick with those. And then in time, you'll find the right curriculum. So, you'll save a lot of time and money if you do that.
Especially if you're starting with all younger children. Do not spend all that money now. You're going to want to save it for later on. Speaking as a mom of teens.
Exactly, for sure.
We need fewer things sometimes than we think, but it's so shiny. And, you know, we see the new thing on Instagram and we're like, ooh, maybe if I picked that curriculum, everything would go perfectly. But yeah, just remember that's not the way it works, right?
Right. Yeah, the shiny curriculum syndrome.
That's exactly. Yeah. Well, here at the end, I'm going to ask you the questions I ask all my guests. And so the first one of my favorite questions, because I love when people bring me a new book stack, is what are you personally reading lately?
Yes, currently I'm working through a book called Biblical Womanhood by Lori Alexander. And she also wrote The Transformed Wife. So those two books are kind of like my thing right now. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that author. Has there been something in particular that stood out to you?
Yeah. Kind of the Titus 2, 3-5, she really focuses on that. And that's kind of what my vision is for Family Devoted as well. And just like my personal life is really trying to be that Titus 2 woman. And I found a lot of encouragement with those two books from her.
It's definitely been a transition for me over the past few years to realize that now I'm kind of turning into like the older mom, mm-hmm. because I got married early and had a lot of little people for a long time. So I always was like the young mom, right? Yeah. And now I guess I'm not really the young mom anymore. So I'm kind of like moving up in the Titus 2 time. I still have a lot to learn from my own mentors, but it's really an exciting thing to be able to share the faithfulness that God has shown me to be able to share that with other younger moms.
Right. Yeah. That's so important for me, just to remember that, you know, God has these things in place to help encourage and build us. So I need to rely on the older women in my life of the faith and take their encouragement, take their instructions, and really use it how God wants it in my life. And then I can be available to that for other younger women as well. So, I mean, God has all these things in place for a reason. And, you know, don't be afraid or ashamed to, you know, seek help when you need it, or, you know, pursue, you know, encouraging other people, because God has that design, you know, specifically in place for that, things like that.
Yeah. All right. The final question for you is, what would be your best tip or tips for helping the homeschool day run more smoothly?
Routines. So that has been a lifesaver for us. We stick with a routine, not necessarily a schedule, but my kids know, you know, what to do during their day. So we don't necessarily do checklists, but they know what's expected and what's required of them. I've kind of been training them on these things, and it's finally kind of running very smoothly lately, which I'm very excited about. So they know the routines, they know what's required of them, and that kind of helps smooth out the day. It limits questions. Okay, what do I need to do now? What's next? And they work independently. So I'm training them to be independent learners. So the routine, sticking with the routine, kind of helps with that.
I think just having kids that when they know what is expected of them, and the clear expectations is so helpful. And that might be something, you know, detailed for some families, or even just sort of knowing, okay, here's kind of the flow I expect you to do, or the things I expect you to focus on before free time. However detailed any particular family gets, just having clear expectations is so helpful. It's helpful for me as a grown-up.
Yeah. You know,
of course it's helpful for our children.
Absolutely.
Kimberly, where can people find you all around the internet?
Yeah, you can find me on afamilydevoted.com. I am also on Instagram at afamilydevoted, and I have a Facebook group called Biblical Worldview Homeschoolers that you can type in the search and it should pop up for you, that I would love for you to join, and also my Facebook page, but primarily my website, Instagram, and my Facebook group you can find me.
And I will have links to all of those things in the show notes for this episode over at humilityanddoxology.com. Thank you to everyone who is watching or listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love for you to take a screenshot and share it in your social media stories, tag Humility and Doxology, tag Kimberly, share the podcast with a friend. I'm so glad that you are here and have given us a little bit of your time. I hope it is an encouragement to your homeschool. Kimberly, thank you again for chatting with me today, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Amy. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening in on this week's Homeschool Conversation. For show notes and links to all the resources we discussed, head to humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-conversations. And if these episodes are an encouragement to you, would you take a moment to leave a rating and review and to share with your friends? I am so thankful that you are here on this adventure with me. Let's repent of our constant striving, relish the joy of learning, and rest in the work of Christ on our behalf. Stand fast, my friends.